Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Bloody Knuckle Show, BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by ourselves. Now, shout out to all sorts of stuff in our lives, 319 Wine and Cheese, my bar, the best wine, the best food you're going to get in the Tallahassee area, and we'll be coming probably near you, wherever you're listening, pretty soon. Global expansion. We're like the USC of the wine and cheese business, baby. But we ain't got no fight pass or no fucking Reebok deal. We just selling straight up great wine, a little vino, and some badass cheese in that. Also, shout out to American Fight System and Warrior X Fit. Back on my kickboxing training. Anyone who wants to train, hit me up on Twitter, BK Show 1, or on Facebook, Ryan Edwards. With me tonight is the man, the myth, the legend. He is the co-founder of the company Paychex. He is the co-founder of, and yes, he got written out of the movie, of Facebook. Everyone thought it was just a pickup line he used every once in a while that he saw from an Always Sunny episode where Dennis used it. But he is a co-founder. He was one of the Zuckerberg twins' friends. He originally told the Zuckerberg twins, the Winkle, whatever the hell their names were. Andrew, you probably know it better than me. Or maybe you don't want to say their name, you know, lawsuits, stuff like that. But, you know, he revolutionized Facebook. He originally came up with the idea of Twitter. He told Dana White to go with the bald look. He actually came up with the idea of Hoist Gracie fighting in UFC 1. And he also came up with the original octagon idea of having a moat with alligators in it. It is the man with his middle fingers up, not giving a fuck. Nick Diaz has his middle fingers up. Whoa. Chuck Norris with some numb chucks. He's funnier than Dane Cook in his prime. Plus the fact, if he wants some money, he goes on the grind. And the fact is, it's his time. Like Bruce Buffer, y'all know who it is. It is the King of Rochester, Mr. Seminole Nation himself, Andrew Warchant. Go fuck yourself, Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, 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 what did it do? Ryan, one new accolade to add to the list. You know now I am the currently number one Kratom enthusiast in the Northeast United States region. But I'm doing fantastic, my man. It is Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday when I have to say you're stuck living that desk life, which it sucks. You know, it's work. Work sucks in general. But, you know, living that desk life, man, goddamn, Ryan, I can't lie. I get excited on some goddamn Fridays. I am so ready for this weekend, my friend.
I could imagine. Today, because, you know, I've had, and for those who don't know, we now for the Bloody Knuckle Show, we're going to be doing shows Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, usually at 11 o'clock. And Thursday is kind of our freestyle show. We talk about life. We talk about news and news in any sport. Maybe we'll talk a little bit of that weird trade talk in the NBA at some point. But we kind of just freestyle it. We have fun. We talk about life. And we also talk about MMA still. Good. A lot of big MMA news coming up.
Ryan, before we get to the MMA news, though, I got to ask you something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know you want to bring up a show. I don't know if this is just because, you know, I spend, 9 hours a day in front of a computer sitting at a desk. And, you know, I'll be honest, I can only concentrate on work so much. So, you know, a lot of random stuff goes through my mind. So today, I don't know what made me think of it, but all of a sudden I was like, yeah, you know what, I kind of want to get a pet fox. I was like, well, can you get a pet fox? What are the rules?
Pretty much get a pet anything these days, right? I mean, But there is some states out there that out there that have like certain laws, right? That like you can't have
you
these psychos that have cobras in their house and shit. Like,
yeah, you have to get the fox approved, get them from a legal vendor. It is $8,000.
Like dinosaurs and shit. Like, if you're rich enough, you can get anything, right?
You can't. We all remember that Dave Chappelle skit where he cracked the dinosaur egg for breakfast. But the question is, you know, can those types of animals be domesticated? You hear some of these stories in the news. I mean, you were telling me about one the other day, the lady and the monkey.
Oh, I got to bring it up for anyone who doesn't know about it. This is why I tell you not to get a fox, Andrew. Because a fox is a wild animal. No matter, and this is for anybody out there, I don't even like the idea of people having snakes. Like, animal was put on earth to fucking kill shit. Like, it was dogs, maybe they originally came on earth to, like, kill shit, but thousands of years they've been domesticated. That animal, like a snake or even a fox, which I used to have a fox in my neighborhood that would chase my cat around all night. I would just see them. It was like a game of tag. And it made me think, man, maybe foxes aren't that badass, actually. But, you know, like certain animals people shouldn't have. Now, with you with a fox, I could just see one day, you know, you raise that. Just imagine it. You raise that fox. You know, it's your badass little fox. Everyone loves it. It becomes so in love with you. At one point, you finally, you know, you get some dime piece over, and the fox rips its face off. I just don't want to see my boy Andrew on the news, and his girlfriend gets her face ripped off by his pet fox, and everyone's like, this douchebag had a pet fox. So there is a lady in Oregon who had a pet chimpanzee. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know how strong monkeys are, look up pictures of chimpanzees. They look like Wanderlei Silva and Pride, but three times the strength. They could rip out our hearts if they want to. Planet of the Apes type shit. This lady not only had a pet monkey, but she would let the monkey sleep with it. Who knows if they were fucking. I mean, they probably were. It was a horny-ass monkey with giant balls. She would let it drink wine. It had diapers on. And it ate Xanax. Then, one day, a friend comes over. One of her girlfriends, maybe she was lesbian. That's why she had the monkey in the first place. Because no guy is going to put up with that. And the monkey gets so jealous, it rips off the lady's face, her friend's face. It actually thought it was this girl's boyfriend. And can you imagine the cops or the animal control who showed up and saw this giant chimpanzee in a diaper with a glass of wine just chilling on the couch, probably watching some TV, and some lady's just like outside the house with her face ripped off. She probably tried to run, I'm guessing. And this chimpanzee is just chilling in the house, and the lady's trying to describe the story. Yeah, my pet monkey rip the face off, and, you know, I feed it Xanax and give it wine. Are you fucking kidding me? So that's why I'm against you getting a fox, my man. I had to get that story out there. A lot of people know about it. But can you imagine? Now, why fox? Why did that come in your mind?
Well, all right. I do want one of those liger cats, but they're $30,000, so that right there kind of knocked out.
Where you can keep a liger in your apartment? It's bigger than your apartment.
Yeah, like, well, not the liger, but the lynx, those exotic cats. I was looking at the fox, all right? The fox seems like something that's not too rabid that could kill you, and I'm not weird. I don't like spiders, and I don't like weird reptiles. I mean, who the fuck wants a fish? And also, I mean, come on, dude.
Fish have to be the most boring
animal. A baby fox can get bitches. A baby fox could get a lot of bitches.
Oh, yeah. But then, you know, you could also, I don't know. Could it get bitches? Yo, lady, come check out my baby fox. Jamie Foxx? You talking about, you know, get the alcohol? Jamie Foxx? You got Jamie Foxx at your apartment? No, my baby fox. Talking about Jeff Foxworthy? No, it's a fox. Okay, I'm gonna go get a drink with this other guy who has a little puppy. But I don't know.
But
I've never seen anyone with a fox.
I don't wanna just get something that can kill me. I don't know if a fox will take me out, but you know, I must say random thoughts of work, and then, you know, people walk by my desk, and this one kid was like, yo, man, I thought you were going to set a fox in your screen saver. Why are you looking at him? And I was like, I want to buy one, and then everyone kind of looked at me like I was weird. So, this girl's like, they can't be domesticated, or no, she didn't even say domesticated. She's like, they're mean, yeah. Foxes, they are mean. They're little scavengers. One other thing, interesting thing I learned at work, there is a dog raccoon. It is a raccoon. It's like half raccoon, half dog.
Oh,
not like
disgusting.
Not like the circle, the Super Bowl commercial about puppy, baby, monkey that I've been seeing everywhere. But this shit is half dog, half raccoon. They're in Asia, and the Asians like to eat them a lot. To be honest, I think so. And instead of making all those cat jokes, they should be making raccoon dog jokes.
Andrew, did you know raccoons are my biggest fear, right? Like, we've been friends for a while. You probably know how scared I am of raccoons.
Yeah, that big one.
I got to mention this. There was actually, like, a little cult of raccoons that were living outside my apartment, two stairways to get inside my apartment. So one night, before, it's funny how they took these things out, but the night before they took them out, it's like they were circulating to finally get me. First, I go to walk up one pair of stairs. You know, I'm tiptoeing up the stairs because the main raccoon would sit in the tree right next to the stairs and just show its teeth, and it was like in jumping distance. And by the time I got up to the second little flight, I looked at it. It was staring right into my eyes. It was like Vanderlei Silva's stare-off. Or stare down, and I completely backed up and went right back down the stairs, knowing that there was like five other raccoons around. So I walk all the way around. I avoid any cars or small areas where I might get cornered by a raccoon. You know, I wanted to be in a big space. I try to go up the other stairway. What do I see? Another raccoon just sitting there on the stairway waiting for me. So I can't get in my apartment. I literally waited. I went back to the other side, looked at the one in the tree. It moved closer to the stairs. Went to the other side. The raccoon was getting closer to the stairs. I literally had to sit out my apartment for an hour waiting for an opportunity so I could sprint up to my house and get inside. Now, this is what makes me feel like a pussy. The next day, I see this guy in a cowboy hat. He maybe looked like an old Donald Cerrone with a beer belly. Through the bushes with some cowboy boots on, some jean shorts, and I believe he had
Floridian right there.
I'm pretty sure he had a Kenny Powers mullet. No, this is a real guy.
That's a classic Floridian.
I believe he had a redneck accent, but because I said, "What you doing, bro?" And he said, "Oh, I heard y'all had a coon problem." For some reason, I heard it like he was the, what's that guy? The alligator hunter that got stung.
Wait, Landry himself?
I heard a Australian accent. So I don't see a gun or anything. I'm like, how is this guy going to take out some raccoons? This man was picking up the raccoons with his bare hands. I don't know what he did with them. He took out a whole flock of raccoons with his bare hands. Talk about feeling like a pussy the next day. I'm running around the apartments trying to just get up some stairs. This guy creeped through the bushes and got the whole pack of raccoons. We never saw them again. No gun, no nothing, just with his bare hands. That was the true Florida raccoon caller right there. Like, I never felt like such more of a pussy in my life.
That's pretty funny, and that I could just picture that guy growing up in Florida. But
that's pretty much everyone in Florida,
right? Is very funny. he's probably a Georgia Bulldogs fan. Ryan, there was actually something else that you brought up that, you know, we talked a little bit about it today. I could kind of see the NBA fandom is starting to come back a little bit. And, you know, with basketball, it's weird. It takes a switch. You know, the season's so long. All I really know this year is Golden State smacking everyone.
47-4. How good is that?
And then what's crazier is the Spurs are right behind them, 45-8. That's just kind of hilarious. And then Porzingis is balling for the Knicks. So that's about all I know. But, however, I know my old faithful, I want to say, just really pissed me off today. So I know the Atlanta Hawks, I think we're like 7 games above 500. We're number one in our division, but not in the conference.
It's a shitty division. The Heat are injured, you know. Like.
Hey, the Heat, the Magic, those are some real premium teams, bro. The Orlando Magic. But, you know, anyways, there's a lot of trade rumors going on because we're going to lose Schroeder if he doesn't get the, like, he'll eventually leave. He's not getting minutes. I mean, they're talking about trading Teague, and then, of course, the big one, Al Horford is a free agent. So, you know, do we let him walk or do we try to get something? Are we going to be able to resign him or we let him walk?
You really give Horford a max, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think so. And that's what he's going to want.
I think Horford is too soft of a big man to give him a max.
You need a defensive big man on that team. You really do.
Let me just tell you what made me so mad. So, of course, I love Peachtree Hoops. They have a lot of good info, you know, and they cover the Hawks 24/7. So I see their podcast, right, Ryan? I'm excited about this podcast. I'm at work. My boss left. I have to admit, when my boss leaves, I do nothing. I'm afraid one day they're going to call me in and be like, so Andrew, it appears that every day you've worked here, the last 2 hours of the day, you've made 5 phone calls and you've done nothing. I'm waiting for it one day. I do. When it hits 3:30, bro, I straight chill. I don't do shit.
That's the true end of work for most people. I mean, after lunch, everyone, I think that's America's problem. Everyone just eats some nasty food for lunch, and then they just go downhill after that. They're like, fuck it.
I just want 5 o'clock to come, so I can go drink. I mean, that's how it is with a lot. I mean, I come back from lunch, I get another energy drink or a cup of coffee, I do that last one, and then 2 hours later, I'm like, yeah, fuck this shit. But, Ryan, let me just tell you, it got me so pissed. So they're like, will the Hawks explore a trade? Like, what's going on with the Hawks and the trade? Title of the podcast, really excited. Listen to the Hawks guy for 20 minutes. The motherfucker does not bring up one probable trade he could see happening or target.
That's why I don't listen to NBA podcasts anymore, other than the Jalen Rose podcast, because he tells it how it is. But
yo,
I've had that happen to me 5 or 6 times.
All this guy did was pretty much break down something everyone who follows the NBA or the Hawks enough to click on the link already knows, that Al Horford is going to be walking, and they're not going to trade him unless it's for a pretty decent or good player. And but they're not going to get that great of a player because he might walk away. Yeah, we know that, bro. We freaking listen so we can get some who are we targeting. And they have the gall to say, you hear some of these trades, and these guys don't even follow the team every day like myself, and you can't name one man? Get the hell out of here. I'm sorry.
Hey,
I had to be that.
There's nothing worse than I listen to a New York Knicks podcast, and it's called, like, the New York Knicks fans that, like, they pretty much say that they bitch about the team. Like, that's their whole thing. But they always have trade talk, exclamation mark. And you know me, I'm obsessed with trades. I just wish there was big trades every season because there always is rumors, and usually they don't happen. And if there was, it would just be such more of an entertaining league. But I listen to the podcast every once in a while, and all they do is say, you know, oh, we got a bunch of trades to talk about. And then they just bitch about the team and how they're not going to get any good trades done, and Carmelo's going to end up staying, and they hate Carmelo Anthony because that's what all Knicks fans say. It is ridiculous. Now, Andrew, I had to bring this up. So I was watching Fox Sports Live last night while I was doing my boxing workout, and I had to stop in the middle of a round, which I never do, because I saw on the big screen, Blake Griffin up on the trade block, ? The rumor out there is that the Clippers are going to be reaching out to Oklahoma City, where Blake Griffin is from, and where he went to college, and you got to think, Blake Griffin is the best you're going to, like, if you want to switch out a superstar for Kevin Durant, who might walk anyway, and you can get Blake Griffin for him, a guy who maybe has been better the last 3 years, that is a bad, and a guy who's from Oklahoma City, so the fans are always going to show up, no matter if you lose Westbrook in 2017, you're still going to have Blake Griffin. Like, keeping Kevin Durant, you potentially could lose him. But the rumor is that the Clippers are going to call up OKC and try to do a Kevin Durant for Blake Griffin trade. How do you feel about that for both sides? And do you think it's a good move? You know, do you think it's a good move? And do you think it's a possibility?
Ryan, you know, here's one thing I will say. When I first, I think there might be a little possibility. You see Blake, he fought the locker room assistant. You already saw, I saw some earlier reporting that the Clippers are expected to make a heavy run at Kevin Durant. I think Kevin Durant is opening to leaving. I know the rumor is if he wants to join Golden State, which, God, and all they would lose was Andre Iguodala. Could you imagine that, Ryan?
God, I mean, but the chemistry on the team, I don't know if, I mean, it's Kevin Durant. I can't say don't go for him, you know? Like, but you got to think they're so good now. Like, oh, my God.
Here's what I will say, though, why I think it could potentially be good for both parties. It does not look like either of them are going to win a championship. And they're just hitting the tipping point where you got to hit the switch-up button. Like, okay, this just isn't going to get it done. I might hurt Blake a little bit just because of the name value he built to the – I mean,
he'll
it will hurt the fan makers and what, but, I mean, honestly, to tell you the truth, I think the Oklahoma City might get the better end of the deal.
He's a monster, Blake Griffin. I mean, he's one of the best. He probably has the best big man moves in the league right now, and he can shoot. And think about him with Westbrook. He knows how to back up and let a point guard take over. He might have better chemistry with Westbrook. And let me tell you this as a Lakers fan. When Dwight Howard was on the Lakers, and we had the opportunity to get, there was talks of Griffin going to the Lakers for Dwight Howard. There was talks of a Golden State trade where we would have got, like, Harrison Barnes and Iguodala and most of their core that won a championship. There was talks with the Nets. We could have at least got, like, Lopez and a couple other people. As a Lakers fan, I got to tell you, Oklahoma City fans, they probably might want Blake Griffin because he's an Oklahoma kid. But they probably love Kevin Durant at the same time. But you got to think about it. This guy could walk away for nothing, and that's a 50-50 risk you're taking. And in contrast, if you get Blake Griffin, I believe he has like 3 or 4 more years on his deal, and if Blake Griffin goes to his hometown, Oklahoma, whenever he is a free agent, he's not going to leave. He's probably going to stay in his hometown. Maybe he would leave, but I could just see him sitting perfectly there with Billy Donovan. Let's be honest, the Clippers have to blow something up. That chemistry is just not working over there. I think OKC has a better chance of winning this year because Westbrook is just so good. But, you know, and then the Clippers, I got to say, one of the dumber teams in history. You have probably a top 5 player in the league. And, Andrew, you know how it is. It's so hard to get a top 5 player in the NBA. And when you have them, that's when you can build a championship roster. Golden State wasn't this good until Steph Curry became the best player in the league. Well, Blake Griffin potentially could be one of the best players in the league, or already is. And they're putting him on the trade block because he punched some random locker room guy. and, you know, he might have a little bit of attitude, and you're going to ruin his, like, relationship with you doing that. That is just such a Clipper move. What I see with the Clippers is, since they got Chris Paul, they rush everything. They, I know they got Jordan back, but they rush. They want to say, let's get Josh Smith. Let's get this guy. And they don't think about it. Oh, Wesley Johnson and Paul Pierce can be our wings. No, Paul Pierce had a good playoffs, but he's old. He's not going to make it through a whole season. And Wesley Johnson is horrible. J.J. Redick is not Ray Allen. You got rid of Bledsoe for pretty much nothing. I know Redick's playing good this year, but the Clippers are always rushing through everything. And also, you got to think, does Ballmer really know basketball? He's just a rich guy. Like, he could just be thinking, oh, I'm going to get Kevin Durant. He probably doesn't even know how free agency works, Andrew. So I feel like this is the better trade for Oklahoma City, because you could be losing Kevin Durant and getting a top player. How do you think Blake and Westbrook would work together? Do you think that would be a better duo than Durant and Westbrook?
And I'm not saying that they aren't a good duo. I mean, that is the best probably duo. If you look at all the teams, they're number one and number two players.
The center too, you know, like, or,
but,
you know,
yeah. At this point, though, Ryan, I mean, I'm willing to prepare. I'm willing to see, you know, Russ and Blake, just because of, you know, how Russ and KD has never been able to get over that extra oomph, I should call it. And I mean, you always feel like something's always happening with them. They're never, you know, I mean, this team, if you look at the past 5-6 years. They should have been able to win one championship. I mean, there's no reason that in one championship.
Yeah, I looked at go ahead, sorry.
I mean, I'll say, you know, it's kind of funny, though, because you'd think, you know, looking at the matchups, at least on paper, that, you know, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin would be one of the best 1-2s as far, you know, with Paul's passing. But I don't know. Just things are both right. I'm in favor of it from a standpoint to, you know, see the teams change it up and, you know, take another run at it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, like, just Chris Paul just isn't the old Chris Paul. I think that's one of the big problems with the Clippers. And just in general, I think it's a good trade, but the Clippers have to be thinking, you know, oh, we're going to give Blake Griffin away for Kevin Durant, and we can re-sign Kevin Durant. What if Kevin Durant walks away? That's a big potential thing that would happen. And just like when the Lakers traded for Dwight Howard and only got him for a year, they might only get him for half a year. It's just a risk. I don't know if it's worth taking when you have a guy like Blake Griffin. Real quick, just hit me with a yes, no, or a hell no. I play too in some trade rumors. If you are the New York Knicks, would you take Dwight Howard for Carmelo Anthony?
Hell no.
I agree. I hate Dwight. Phil Jackson's fascinated with him. But, I mean, the news is that Phil Jackson's going to be out the door for the Knicks soon. He's going to go back to the Lakers, which will be so funny if he played the Knicks like that and just went
Bro,
back.
Bro, y'all need it.
Trust me. I know we do. But I'm not worried about the Lakers, because I knew we were going to be bad. I thought we were going to be better than this. But
Ben Simmons in the purple and gold.
Build the young core, and I'm not worried about Russell, because Steve Nash and John Stockton only averaged 3 assists and 3 points their rookie years. It is a hard league to dominate as a point guard. I think Russell is still going to be a superstar, and I think when you have him and you can get another huge draft pick, that's the way you got to build, and they're just going to keep being great free agents out there. So don't go after the Kevin Durant that if you can't really sign him. Go after a DeMar DeRozan who's from L.A. Like, start building the team like that. I'm actually happy where the Lakers are at. I wish Kobe had a better lat. Like,
yeah.
I wish
That's
he had a
right.
better team
Your
around.
Your team has 11 wins, bro.
No,
get out of here.
I'm happy where they're at. Because the Lakers, I look at them and I say, in 4 or 5 years, I think they can be a top team in the West. I'm not trying to dig on your Hawks, but I look at y'all's roster, old Paul Millsap, old Al Horford. It's built to win now, but in the future, I don't see how that team's ever going to be a championship contender unless y'all pull some major trades to get superstars. And then we're the Lakers. We can always pull a superstar every once in a while. And if we can pull Phil Jackson, that's a superstar right there. So I'm actually happy where the team is right now, truthfully. It's Kobe's last year. It's a new era. And if we keep that draft pick, I'm actually probably happier than us being, you know, the number 4 seed and getting eliminated in the playoffs. I just am. If I can get Ben Simmons, if the Hawks could get Ben Simmons instead of getting eliminated in the first round of the playoffs or the second round, I bet you would take Ben Simmons, wouldn't you, Hawks fan?
I would, but I mean, I don't know if it'll be interesting to see. I will say this, though. You might be the only happy Lakers fan. I get what you mean.
I hear it. When Max Kellerman talks about it, rebuilding, this is what you have to do. There's other people who have talked about it. After Magic left, they did this, and they got Kobe, and then they got Shaq. It's every 4 years after a Lakers dynasty, they have a couple shitty seasons, and they build Magic, and I think that's what they're doing. They're building Magic back together. I mean, you can't expect a team with a 19-year-old point guard, a 19 or 20-year-old power forward, an old Kobe Bryant, and a guy that we stole in the second round, who's only like 20, 21 years old, Jordan Clarkson, in the West, to truly be that great. I think if we were in the East, we would still compete a lot better than we are in the West. So I think we're in a perfect position right now. Golden State only had like 15 wins when Steph Curry entered the league with Klay Thompson. So as a fan, you got to be optimistic. If I was a Philadelphia fan, with all the years they've been rebuilding and just the same old shit, I would be a little
bit more upset. Are they even still around?
Also, think about this, Andrew. 15 motherfucking championships, homie. So I'm a little bit more patient because I've seen my team win it 3 years with Shaq and 2 years with Kobe by himself. So I've seen 5 championships in my lifetime alone. So I'm a little bit, you know, not too in urgency mode when it comes to the Lakers. Let them do what they got. I don't want them to pull a Dwight Howard move and get a guy that who's going to ruin our team again. I'd rather them do a slow rebuild. And then I'm 100% swearing my mom's life now. I'd rather them do that than pull a guy like Dwight Howard in there. You know,
no,
like,
definitely.
If we would have
got
Carmelo
back
when we were courting him and we were stuck with an old Kobe and an old Carmelo, that team would never win a championship. So in 5 years, I'm more optimistic about the guys we have now than if we would have courted one of the big free agents or Dwight Howard would have stayed.
That is certainly a good outlook to have on it. I mean, my big thing I want to say, because there's a lot of upset fans on social media. Everyone has crucified D'Angelo Russell. I think
the rookies were in L.A.
It's way too early.
And like I said, Stockton and Nash, 3 points.
It's too early in his career for anyone to be making, you know, such like, I mean, the kid hasn't even played a whole season yet.
It's the jersey he has on and the coach he has. The one thing I would say I'm upset with the Lakers about is that they've kept stupid ass, his name's eluding me right now.
Byron Scott.
They've kept stupid ass Byron Scott, who benches D'Angelo half games. Like, let the kid play. He has like half the minutes of most of the rookies out there. You gotta let elite rookies play, and you're gonna lose anyway, so you might as well let these rookies play. That's the big thing for me. Like, keeping Byron Scott and not going after Luke Walton, which I think that's the Lakers' next move. Luke Walton, coaching Golden State. If we can get Luke Walton with our young core and Phil Jackson back, man, I am happy as a kid, a fat kid with a fucking sundae. The other trade rumor I wanted to say, Andrew, because you are a Hawks fan, real quick, is Dwight Howard. I'll sweeten the pot for you because I know you don't like Dwight Howard. Ty Lawson and Trevor Ariza for Jeff Teague and Al Horford. Would you take that trade?
Absolutely.
I talked you into it today.
With Ariza, that
wing defense with Dwight's defense inside would make y'all so much better.
And Paul, see good old Paul in there too.
And you got Korver. It would almost be like the Orlando Magic again if Dwight could switch it back on, and if he's the number one guy, maybe he can switch it back on because you have all the shooters around him, and then you have Dwight playing the defense in the middle. As long as I think y'all's coach could get in Dwight's ear and turn him back into an animal.
I do like the trade a lot, especially adding Ty Lawson here. But Ryan, to finish out the last couple of minutes of the show, instead of talking about the Hawks, what the fuck is going on in Houston? The team is 28-28. They fired dumbass McHale. I mean, Ryan, this team, I mean, in the summer, me and you were saying is like the most stacked team in the NBA pretty much on paper. Them with OKC. With them OKC Golden State. What the hell is going wrong with Houston? They have a bunch of star players, not elite. I swear to God, that's just James Harden. Like, does he call the play? Like, what the hell is going on in Houston?
Do you think in all reality you have to look at it and say, is James, as good as James Harden is, can he be your, like, can a team of James Harden and Dwight Howard really be a championship team, no matter how stacked the team is around them? Then you add, like, a problem child like Ty Lawson, which we all knew was an experiment that just did not work out. Like, James Harden said he wanted a ball-handling point guard. He absolutely went against that because he's dribbling the ball up now every time and hogging the ball. And I just don't think the chemistry is there. And also, you got to say Kardashian curse, man. I know James Harden's not playing bad, but he started dating Khloe Kardashian. Now look how bad his team is playing. I'm sorry, those girls are a curse on anybody.
Wait,
that fucking
James dating. Harden's dating Khloe Kardashian? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which she got really hot, too. Really hot.
Yeah,
but,
no, I know she's super hot. Just an athlete dipping its skills in the Kardashian is never.
Yeah, you don't want to get in that cheap pool. Look what happened to Bruce Jenner, man. That family drove him to become a transvestite. I mean, come on, man. I mean, that family will drive you crazy. One of the boyfriends, the alcoholic, the ex-fiance or the ex-husband, Lamar Odom, became a goddamn crackhead. You have Reggie Bush, whose career fell off. Ray J never made a song again. Chris Humphries, I think, was an arranged marriage just for the money. He made $1 million off the show and then never really did shit in the NBA again. He had his minute of fame. I mean, look at the track record, man. It's so bad. I think that could be a problem with Houston. I call it the Kardashian curse. They shouldn't even let those girls in an NBA locker room definitely not an NBA locker room because there would be some. You would see them shorts start rising very quick, but I'm talking about don't let them in an NBA arena. But, Andrew, I got to say this. With Houston, with that roster, how stacked it is, we see the Dwight Howard trade rumors. What do you think is the ideal thing to do to fix it? Like, I know trade Dwight Howard is the easy answer, but what do you get for Dwight Howard? I mean, is Al Horford perfect for, you know, that might be the perfect trade for them.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I feel like what this team is missing is intangibles. To me, looking in from the outside,
it does not look like this team has a leader. You know what I mean? They need a strong, tough, veteran leader.
You think Big Al could be that for them?
And see, the one thing interesting about that, Al was never that. I don't know how vocal he is.
Too passive.
Leader. But I definitely think Teague could help as well, coming in and commanding some offense. But, you know, really, it's just that team, I feel, for me, has got to be, you know, people putting accountability on the players and then the coaching. And, I mean, if you're going to play shittily, then, yeah, get your minutes whittled. I don't know. Just Houston is – it's a train wreck, and it's disgraceful. But to me, they have no leader. They have no leader.
And this is what I'm talking about. When you're in the NBA, you have to be careful. You might – I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love if the Lakers had James Harden on their team. But when they built that super team, me and you thought they – I mean, we might laugh at it now, but when they built that super team with Paul Pierce, we thought that team was going to be unstoppable. When you put all your money into a bunch of superstars and they turn out to not be the right kind of superstars, which, hey, the Cavs might have the same problem. They might never win if LeBron keeps getting older. Kevin Love just doesn't seem like a right fit. But Houston definitely has the worst. I mean, OKC, same thing. But, I mean, Westbrook and Durant, way better players. But if you get, you know, if you invest your money in the wrong superstars, $100 million in each one, then you're stuck with them unless you trade, and then you have to blow your team up, and you only have a small championship window for each superstar that you have. Look at Kobe Bryant's last few years. Just when, like, the Lakers blew everything up for Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. So you got to think, you know, do you want the young rookies coming in and do you want to build it up? Or do you want to gamble on the wrong superstars? Or do you wait for the right superstar and you get every once in a while pick up a Shaquille O'Neal in free agency like the Lakers did, or draft a Magic Johnson, or get a Kevin Durant or LeBron James in free agency? It's a very hard league to win in, and I got to give kudos to Golden State because they built that team through the draft and through free agency, and they built a perfect team. And you got to think, Houston built, it looks like a perfect team, but there's just holes in the personality.
Yeah, I mean, it really is funny. And, I mean, with Houston, it does just really end, for me at least, with the leadership. I mean, it is going to be interesting, Ryan. At this point, I think everyone in the world, you know, is predicting either Golden State or San Antonio to win it all this year. They're so good, Ryan, it's almost like, you know, those two should be playing for the championship. But remember, follow your boy at BK Show Andrew M, and tune in next Sunday.
Yes,
and
sir,
we got The Walking Dead coming back.
Oh, fuck yeah, I didn't even know that. And Better Call Saul on Monday. I'm looking forward because I think that show is going to have a really good second season. It's BK Show 1 on Twitter for me. And I got to say, on Sunday, we are going to talk about Glory being on Fight Pass now. Huge for the UFC's Fight Pass. Anderson Silva, Kimbo Slice, Ken Shamrock, Hoyce Gracie, and somehow Dada 5000 is in that group in the big fights coming up. Andrew, what a month of fights we have coming up to talk about. Anderson Silva, Michael Bisping on the 27th. Ken Shamrock, fucking Hoyce Gracie next weekend. It's crazy that we're going to see that fight. And Kimbo Slice and Dada 5000.